Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I am your host, Ben Trueblood, alongside Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
And Drew Dixon joining us today. Drew, glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Some of you might be asking, who is Drew Dixon? I'm glad you asked, because he is the team leader for all things Explore the Bible here for student ministry at Lifeway. So if you are an Explore the Bible user, then you have read and seen Drew's work every single week in that curriculum. Also does a lot of editing for us, things like that. In addition, though, Drew is the co-founder of a ministry called Love Thy Nerd. You can find out more about that at just lovethynerd.com, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So go there. You can go there and read some of Drew's work, as well as see what that ministry is up to. So as we jump into today's topic, let's take 30 seconds to remind you of the thing that all of you love so much. And that's, if you haven't left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts yet, then go over and do that. Head to iTunes, click on the podcast, find Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We would love to hear from you on what you like about the podcast or what you think we can do to make it better. So head over there, leave a rating and a review. So stars and words is what maximizes the benefit there. It helps other people find the Student Ministry Podcast that you have hopefully come to love and enjoy. So if you could go do that, and if you haven't subscribed, then take two more seconds and hit the subscribe button while you are there. So today, we're going to talk about leaving a legacy and what that means spiritually and ministerially for you. But we're going to talk about it and kind of frame it up with something that's happening right now in our culture. So this last week, somebody who I think has left a legacy in terms of culture passed away, and that is Stan Lee. So we know him as Stan Lee. It wasn't his given name, but he was the co-founder, co-creator of Marvel, and has created a ton of the superheroes that we've been watching on the big screen and in movies for the last several years. So he's passed away. By the time the podcast airs, I think it'll be about a week and a half since that moment. But somebody who has definitely left a legacy and left a mark in his circle. So what do you got? Let's start off with this, the favorite superhero question, just to kind of get this on. It doesn't have to be one that Stan Lee created. So favorite superheroes. Mary Margaret, what do you think?
Oh, I'm glad that I get to go first.
Yeah, for sure. Ladies first.
Ladies first. I should have thought of this when you asked me this question a few minutes ago. I feel like I need to go with like Batman. I've probably seen all of those movies. And okay. Not that it's about the movies, but like, you know, he's cool.
So you went not only not Stan Lee.
Shoot, I went
but not even
not
Marvel.
Even Marvel.
No, that's good.
Dang
hey,
it.
Listen, it's your favorite.
Sure.
So
I've seen all the movies. Like, I mean, I liked Thor and shoot.
It's okay.
I've Drew, seen like
this is
Thor.
Going down quickly.
We won't ask which Thor. We'll just go with
Thor.
The blanket Thor. But Batman is your fit. Listen, Batman is a great choice because Batman is one of those superheroes that like kind of does it all himself.
Mm-hmm. He's not actually a super.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't
no superpowers,
have like.
He utilizes what is at his fingertips.
He's really rich.
Yes.
His superpower is I can spend money to create gadgets.
Yeah. Yes.
And he's got lots of daddy issues that makes him interesting.
Oh, yeah. You know? I like Iron Man, too. He's good. He's a good guy.
I like Iron
Sometimes.
Man. Mm-hmm. See, I think
also super rich.
Yeah, also his power being super rich.
Yes.
We're finding a trend here with Mary Margaret.
Oh no.
It's the super rich that she loves. But
apparently.
I like those kinds of superheroes. Like for me, Superman is like the worst superhero ever devised.
Yeah.
Because
it's like how are we going to go after him this time? Oh, maybe kryptonite. That'd be a good idea.
Right. And that's like
that's
the only
weakness.
Thing. Yeah. So, Drew, what's your favorite superhero?
So, growing up, I watched and read a lot of Spider-Man comics. Watched this Spider-Man. So, that's like the most iconic one that I always go to. But my favorite is probably Wolverine.
Yeah.
Just because, I think his whole background of this kind of tortured past of where he was experimented on and all these things make for like a really like a guy who has to learn who is a superhero who finds it really difficult to be a hero. I think makes for an interesting story.
Kind of the anti-hero type person.
Yeah.
That does some things that normal superheroes probably wouldn't be excited about, but ends up doing them for good.
Yeah. But learn, you know, I think in a lot of his storylines anyway, he learns to be like a noble person and to use the powers he's been given for good, rather than like Spider-Man, who from the very beginning is like, old Uncle Ben told me how to live right. You know? I just find it a more like compelling story, I guess.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man, so there's going to be some fact checker that maybe finds out that checks on this, but I think Spider-Man was the most popular superhero of all time and most popular one that he created or co-created.
Yeah. I mean, certainly when you think of Stan Lee, I think that's what everybody thinks of.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. I mean, first, anyway, obviously he's co-created a lot of great superheroes.
Yeah, like I have pulled up a bunch of, like, the list, and it's on Wikipedia, the world's foremost expert on all things. Then the reason for that is because just anyone can get in and edit it, right? And Michael Scott's theory on why Wikipedia is the best. But there are hundreds of superheroes that he created. Mm-hmm. And what I think is so cool about Stan Lee and people like him, video game developers, movie producers, like all script writers, is that they're not just creating a single hero or a single person, a single man or a single woman, mm-hmm. but they're creating an entire world to go along with it. And that's like for somebody who, like I would say, I'm not creatively gifted very heavily. That is just an amazing thing to me, to be so creative that all of this world just exists in your head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So favorite superhero for me, and then we'll keep rolling, is Gambit. He is, he's always been my favorite superhero. He's
another kind of anti-hero a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's kind of X-Men-ish, like when it, I think, suits him, and when it doesn't, he kind of does his own thing. But he can like explosively charge objects, mm-hmm. and throw them and make stuff blow up.
Yeah.
So
I just love the X-Men like storylines in general, because it was sort of like a big departure from your typical superhero storyline, you know, where it's like the good guys fighting the bad guys, and with X-Men it's like, no, there's all these politics in it, and like and like human rights issues and things that are good. I think X-Men probably marked an era of Marvel where like superhero stories started growing up a little bit and maybe reflecting our culture a little bit more seriously.
Yeah, I think so, specifically in the human rights sector, like you mentioned, because, I mean, they were, you know, the X-Men or superheroes or gifted people were kind of shunned and looked down upon just because they were different from everyone else. So if you take that in terms of race or culture and how those comic books responded to and how those storylines responded to what does a group of people do when they're societal outcasts in that culture, man, I think it is a narrative that I think went deeper than just cool superheroes and cool abilities. But if you really look beneath the surface, Marvel and Stan Lee are commentators on culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that became something that reflected in what they what they were doing.
Yeah. I think that's a big part of why like so many people are mourning. Like in some ways when this sort of thing happens, like if I'm honest, I sort of roll my eyes at how people mourn celebrities, because it's like, you didn't know this guy.
Yeah.
So there's like part of me that is annoyed by that. But in reality, like Stan Lee and the worlds he created and the characters he created, like helped people process.
Yeah.
Like scary things that were happening in the world for decades, which is a pretty amazing like legacy to be able to say that you helped people like think through these things, and his worlds were there for people in the midst of like some really gnarly times, I think.
Yeah.
Those kind of creative minds don't just you know, I think there's just, he was obviously just gifted in the way that his mind created these worlds, like you were saying a minute ago, Ben, like that he just had this gift for putting the pieces together and telling a story and developing a character where you didn't just see the wins, but you also saw the weaknesses and you saw the, you know, their other side, like you mentioned a minute ago with the Kryptonite and Superman, you know, that like we saw the weak side of those characters too and not just all the good stuff. And I think it, you know, we all can kind of find ourselves somewhere in those stories of finding like, oh yeah, like, you know, where you can relate. Mm-hmm. And it's a gift that way to be that type of creative that can literally create a whole nother world.
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of his legacy and what he's going to leave behind and what he's going to be known for, is definitely Marvel, is all the characters that he's created, the worlds that he's created, the cultural commentating, like we've been talked about. I think another, and just as a side note, for people who are like still like, who's Stan Lee? Maybe you had to pause the podcast and go Google him or whatever. And you're like, oh, he's the guy behind all these things. Spider-Man, X-Men, Iron Man, assembling the Avengers, Thor, Hulk, Fantastic Four, Black Panther, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Ant-Man are all ones, like popular ones that he had a hand in creating either by himself or co-creating with somebody else at Marvel. So, I mean, this guy's put together the anthology of stuff. And most of us interact with his work now through movies, but the comic books go back decades. And I think one of the legacies for me that Stan kind of leaves behind is that imagination in challenging people to imagine. Like, I'm 40 years old, comic books like weren't huge when I was a kid, but I guess because I was nerdy, like I still collected them. So yeah. I can remember like going to the comic book store and buying comics and reading them and it being like a really fun, imaginative dive into a different world type of thing. And I think maybe in a world where our kids aren't challenged to be imaginative as much as they were decades ago, just because everything's at their fingertips, they don't have to imagine anymore. Like they can go find whatever it is on the internet that they think of.
Yeah.
They don't have to create worlds on their own. And they don't, you know, they just play in someone else's world rather than go outside many times and create their own world to play in. So I think this idea of imagination is something that's really key in his legacy that he's left behind.
Yep.
So as we think about his legacy though, let's switch over because you know, we could start a Marvel podcast, but this definitely is not just a podcast about Marvel. Let's think about legacy in terms of the spiritual side of things. Like for us, who are all believers in Jesus and involved in ministry that are sitting in this room and an audience full of student ministry leaders, is legacy even something that we should strive for? So legacy and leaving behind, like what are you going to be known for after you're gone? What are going to be the fruits of the labor that you're doing? And so my first question I'd throw out for us to consider is right now in a student pastor's life or in our lives, is legacy something that we biblically even need to be striving for, to set up and say, I'm chasing after this?
You know, I think it's the double-sidedness, that's a weird way to say it, but like of just the fact that we've always got to be forward thinking, because if we're just looking at the students that are right in front of us right now, you know, the church that we're serving, the parents that we're having conversations with, and don't think about the long-term effects, you know, and even beyond that, just to the fact that the, you know, whether it's a sermon that you preach on a Wednesday night, whether it's a Bible study that you're leading, a student that you're discipling, that those are seeds that we're planting, that we're hoping will last a lifetime, that in essence is, you know, building into eternity in the lives of other people. I think we have to be legacy minded that direction. I don't think we can't live in the light of like, well, I've got to do these things so that necessarily all the time. But I do think we've got to be aware that our words last longer than we do. And like you can pull up anybody's words online. Mm-hmm. You can pull up quotes by people who've been dead for like thousands of years, you know, and like the whole Bible is dead people. We've got their words, like lots of legacy there. Probably a bad example. I'm on a roll today. But, you know, but there, it's just this idea of that those things last far beyond our lives and that we've got to be conscious of those things when we say them, when we speak them over people, when we are doing what it is that God has called and wired us to do, that these things are not going to just fall to the ground and go away. But our hope is that they would last longer than us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's and kind of in line with what you're saying. Like, you and I, all of us, whoever's listening to this podcast, we're all leaving a legacy whether we recognize it or not.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a danger in our culture to over obsess, or that's redundant, but just obsess over legacy, over this idea, because we want to be like Stanley, even in ministry context. Like, right, we want to have the biggest student ministry, and we want to have you know, a podcast that everybody listens to, or, you know, we want to be, you know, anybody these days in our day of social media and the internet can have their own platform.
Yeah.
And I think we've even created this culture in ministry where it's sort of like expected that you would have this big platform. So in one sense, I want to say, don't worry about legacy to the student pastor, in the sense that I think culturally we tend to think of that. Like, we want to have this legacy of importance and impact and, like, but it's really about us, you know. But in the other sense, like, we also, along with what Mary Margaret was saying, it's very important because we are having an impact on those closest to us.
Yeah.
And they see whether, and those closest to us will see whether it was about Jesus or it was about our ego, you know. They'll know, like, our spouses, our closest friends, our children, they're going to know those things.
It's interesting, the yes and no that you talk about there. And, like, I would agree with both of those things. I think maybe sometimes when we think of legacy, and we even started off the conversation using Stan as, like, that we're on first-name basis now. As we've talked about him
good
long enough.
Stan.
We
can,
that we started off with him because he's just passed away and because he is the name that you see most often. And so when we think of legacy, a lot of times I think our minds go to the bigness of it, like you mentioned, with the big student ministry, and we think of hundreds and thousands of people that we impact over the course of a lifetime, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, even Stan Lee had other people that he worked with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, right now in our culture, we're hearing more about him because he just passed away. But even with the rise of Marvel movies and all of the things with Disney and all that, you never hear about, and I'm cheating because I'm looking at the internet right now, you never hear about Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko.
Yeah.
That are the guys that worked closely alongside of him in order to create these worlds and create these characters and to found Marvel.
Yeah.
And now some of you are listening to this I know who they are.
Yeah.
You're like way into this and you knew the other two guys. But I think for the majority of our culture, Stan's the face and he's the one.
Yeah.
But the other guys
have
legacy too.
He's making all those cameos in every Marvel movie.
Right.
There's no Steve, at least I don't think there's any Steve Ditko cameos.
Well, yeah. I would have no idea.
Yeah, most people don't know who he is comparatively. Yeah.
Right. Sure. So I think one of the things, like if we think about it in terms of the spiritual context, I think one of the things that we have to take out of the equation when we think about legacy is putting a bigness or a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it in terms of discipling impact and kingdom impact. Like, were you faithful to leave a mark on the places that God put you in?
Yeah.
Regardless of if those places are a huge stage or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we get distracted by the bigness of it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very easily. And it's easy to want for the bigness. And I think if we were probably to take a poll of people who are retired, you know, in their 60s, 70s, 80s, they would tell you, like, it's about the small things. Like, all of this adds up to, are you caring for your family and your friends and your church? And, you know, who is it that you can still, and I was talking to Selma Wilson last week, who just retired here at Lifeway, and I asked her how retirement was treating her. And she just said, I love it. Like, and she said, I'm getting to invest in my family in a way that I haven't been able to in a while. And, you know, she said, I always kept them first, but like, but that is her goal in retirement, is to invest in her kids and her grandkids. And, you know, to look at, you know, she said, I'm in my final lap here, and she's only in her early 60s. I mean, it's not like I'm not looking at her like she's on death's door. Like, that's not the case. But she's just saying, with whatever time I have left, I want to be really intentional with it. And I think there are very few people at that stage who are trying to go, oh, what else can I do that's really big, that's going to make a huge dent? They're looking around going, who are the people that I can influence and make an impact on?
Yeah. I think, too, like, you know, like, let's fast forward 30 years. How many people are going to know Stan Lee's name? Like, really?
Yeah,
people who get into that world, but it probably won't be as widely known as it is in 2018.
Yeah,
and I don't think that tarnishes the legacy. Mm-hmm. I think that just gives us the reality of what a legacy really is. And then when you think in terms of discipleship, like, hopefully there are teenagers that I discipled as a student pastor who by now have discipled other people that have discipled other people that have no idea who I am.
Yeah.
And have no idea that I discipled a person a couple of branches up on the discipleship tree, you know? Yeah. And I think that's something that's beautiful about discipleship and God giving us the opportunity to be a part of a discipling legacy, is that the work we do is not meant for our legacy in our name.
Yeah.
It's meant for His. Mm-hmm. And we really get to be, I'll take a little bit of a liberty and stretch this a tad because He doesn't need us, but we get to be a part of establishing His legacy in our time and our culture.
Yeah.
Now, I realize there are theological implications with that statement, and don't cut that piece of audio and
don't tweet
get
that
me fired.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, because he doesn't need us to help establish His legacy. But the reality is that He handed that to His disciples and said, go.
Yeah.
And it's made it to us because they went.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to be a part of that legacy as well.
Which is it's a demonstration of His love for us, in that, like, exactly what you said, like, God didn't need us to be a part of His global mission of making disciples. Like, we are really unnecessary to that whole thing.
Yeah.
And yet that's exactly how He determined to spread the gospel, to involve broken, weak people like us. I think... that's like a really good reminder when we think about legacy, because probably the most important aspect of it is those relationships, those people that, did we love them like Jesus loves us? Did we invest in them, without strings attached for them to represent us, and make us look good? I think that's probably the most challenging part of legacy for us to think about, because we really want, kind of back to that cultural thing. I think in our culture, we really want, and we don't realize it, we don't admit it a lot of times, but we're constantly being pulled to, like, have it be about us. And
that's right.
Like, our culture is constantly saying, like, make yourself a big deal, like, prove that you're an expert in this field, or prove that you're good enough, or prove that you're valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's not where our value is rooted before God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the encouraging thing, I think, for student pastors, youth ministry leaders that are listening to this, is that your legacy isn't determined by the size of the stage that you get. It's determined in your faithfulness to preach God's word and disciple people and to extend the family tree that we are just a branch in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's like the one side of that. The other side of it that I think is also a reality is that while we are here on earth, we should seek to make an impact in as many people as we can.
Yeah.
So the one thing that we talked about, in wherever you are, be faithful in any environment, I don't think negates the desire to make an impact in as many people as we can.
Yeah.
Again, not for our own benefit and all that kind of stuff, but we should want to impact as many as we can with the time that we have on this earth. So there is, while we said, let's forget about the bigness of it, there should be a desire within us to not seek the bigness, mm-hmm. but to seek greater impact in whatever place we are.
Yeah. And our call in that is just to be obedient, you know, to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He guides and directs our steps to do those things that make our ministry both deep and wide, you know, that really challenge us to go deep in life with a handful, but then also to be and make an impact wherever it is that we go. Mm-hmm. And so that not just on Wednesday nights at youth group or Sunday mornings or when we're in charge of, you know, in front of parents or things like that, but also when we're at, you know, our kids' school activities or when you're at the grocery store, wherever it is that you are stewarding that time that you have well, mm-hmm. and that we're making an impact for Christ in those places too.
Yeah.
And there's probably some student pastors, student leaders who are listening to this that, like, your ministry's, like, for whatever reasons, blowing up, and you're starting to think about, like, how to manage that well.
Yeah.
Like, that's an awesome problem to have. And maybe you're even thinking about, like, God's put you in a place of influence where you can influence a lot of other student leaders and churches. We're not saying don't do those things, mm-hmm. or don't, like, build a platform. I'm using air quotes. But, you know, we're not saying don't do, like, that you can do that in a way that brings glory to God.
Yes, absolutely.
And in a way that helps other people. Like, if you've discovered a formula or something that's really effective for making disciples, you have a path that you go through for doing it. Like, it's a wonderful thing to share that with the world if you're doing it out of desire to further the kingdom, you know. So I think it's just important that we keep that at the forefront. Yeah. So maybe to your point, like, an important learning point in all this for people who are listening is if you're trying to build a platform in certain ways, make sure it is about leaving a legacy that's focused on discipleship. So invite some accountability in your life, in the way that you know, quote unquote, build your platform, mm-hmm. or try to expand your influence.
Yeah. And just, I think too, you know, Ben, like you were saying a minute ago, there is that generational aspect of discipleship of, you know, for student pastors, student ministry leaders, you know, the people that you disciple and pour into that then make disciples who make disciples, that trickles down in such a powerful way. And even one of the student pastors I worked for had been led to the Lord by a guy who my dad led to the Lord. Hmm. And so, like, when he and I started working together, he was like, oh my gosh, that's your dad? Like, and I just saw, I was like, my dad's obedience led to, you know, and not that my, you know, again, not to the point like where, you know, God could have done this any way that He would have chosen to, but He chose to use people, and He chose to use my dad to make an impact on a guy named Wes Searcy, who made an impact on a guy named Michael Smith, who just this trickle down effect of ministry and learning from one another then impacted me full circle from my dad several generations up. And it just was one of those things that you're just like, okay, like, this is about us being obedient to whatever it is it looks like, not knowing, some of us will never see the fruit of that. There's this quote by this guy named Elton Trueblood that says, a man has made at least a start on discovering the meaning of human life when he plants shade trees under which he knows full well he will never sit. And just this idea that our job as ministers of the gospel is to plant shade trees under which we will probably never sit. You know, that we are investing, we're pouring in, we're watering. And for some of us, we really want to hold tightly to some of these students that we're going, but if I just tried a little harder, if I did one more thing. And some of those, the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us to do that. And some of them, He's releasing, letting us hit the release button so that someone else can take the next step with them. Someone else can help cultivate what it is that we have helped to plant or helped to water. And we may never see the fruition of what it is that God is using us to do this side of heaven. But just to know that our call is to be obedient in that. And those are the things that matter. Those are the things that leave a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really cool. And this has been true, at least for me along the way, that God has always been good to allow me to see pieces of fruit along the way as an encouragement and as a blessing. And hey, like, what you're doing is pointing people to me, But I think also in his wisdom doesn't allow us to see the fullness of the fruit that he's going to produce or the fullness of the shade trees, as old Uncle Elton said. But so that we keep our eyes on him and so that it as a caution for it not to become about us. Elton Trueblood's not my uncle, by the way, but I am related.
Really?
He is a distant relative.
Well, wow, thank you, Ben.
So goes the story.
He's also a vampire. Just kidding.
So let's, man, I think it'd be fun. Let's end with just this last question. And who has, from a spiritual standpoint, been somebody that has left a legacy to you? Like who has made one of those spiritual, like your spiritual Mount Rushmore kind of people.
So when I was in seminary, the pastor at my church, and he was part-time there at the time. So, you know, not even able to pastor this particular church full-time, invited me, just said, I want to invest in you. I want to help you, give you some practical, insight into at the time I wanted to be a pastor, you know, and so I just want to give you an insight into what that's like and invest in you. And so every Wednesday night, I ate dinner with his family. And for about maybe, I don't know, it was almost a year probably, Paul Roberts is his name, a great guy. And so I got to see how he interacted with his wife and how he responded when his kids acted up at the dinner table, which happened all the time. And, you know, so for me, I was about to get married. I got to see a real life example of what it looks like to be a parent who loves Jesus, loves your family, messes up sometimes, but, you know, just kind of like it was like a life, one of my first like life on life discipleship experiences.
That's good.
And mine honestly is really similar. I feel like I have to say my mom has probably had the biggest impact on my life spiritually, but to give, you know, an example today of like one of the, aside from her, when I was a junior in high school, we had interns at our church, and a year long intern named Amanda came and lived in Orlando for a year. And she and I just became good friends that year. She was 4 years older than me. And she just invested in me that year. And some of it was like singing Backstreet Boys and NSYNC really loud in the car.
Yes.
And then some of it was legitimately like doing Bible study together and talking about what the Lord was doing in our lives. But just in the way that the Lord only can do, you know, she lives here in Nashville now. And, you know, we kept up over all of these years, and she just continued to invest in me, continue to pray for me, you know, just be one of those people who just championed me on a regular basis. And then now that we live in the same city, we're able to sit down and have lunch periodically. And even, you know, Drew, like you were saying, like, I love to go to her house and spend time with her family. And over the last 6 years, I've been able to develop a relationship with her husband and her kids, and watch her be a wife and a mom, and watch her live that out, all the while saying, like, you know, how are you growing in Christ? What's God teaching you? How can I pray for you? And building in those things that make a difference in the long run. And so that life on life thing, I think, has been huge.
Yeah. For me, I would have to go to my dad, who turns 90 in April.
Wow.
So that'll be a momentous occasion. That's right. So yeah, he's just been a shining example of what it means to be servant-hearted. And is in prison, he's in the jail doing ministry. He's not in prison like incarcerated. But he's in the jail 4 days a week doing devotions with inmates and being the chaplain there. And you just watched him take care of my mom before she passed away when she was sick and dealing with all kinds of stuff. And just through that, man, like, this person is the most Jesus-hearted person that I've ever known.
Yeah.
So for me, it would have to be my dad. And I would, as we close out the podcast, I would encourage you that are listening to think about those people that have been spiritual mentors to you, people that have left a legacy in your life by the way that they lived, by what they've taught you, by how they've discipled you. And maybe even take the time to sit down with a card and a pen and write a quick note of thankfulness and gratefulness to them, or pick up the phone and give them a shout. But think about that person who has left a spiritual legacy for you, And going back to one of the questions that we asked, is the spiritual legacy something that we should even seek? And I think we've said yes to that question, but no if it's pointing the spotlight on us. And mm-hmm. so while you think about that spiritual legacy and someone that's had an impact in your life, I think it's a good point to evaluate, too, on how we're handling the moments of our lives and how we are pointing the people that are going to be behind us towards Jesus. So with that, we'll wrap it up. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.